In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Consoler, Paraclete, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. All right, we're going to be working on the sixth Sunday of Easter. The first part of these reflections is going to be the beginning of reflections on Verbum Domini, which was the post-synodal apostolic exhortation of Benedict XVI. The 12th Ordinary General Assembly of the World Synod of Bishops was October 5 to 26 in 2008. This came out later, which is the normal way that these have been done. All the minutes and so forth are given to the Pope, who has been to several of the sessions himself, and he puts it together and comes out with what's called an exhortation. So this one is called, its title, On the Word of God in the Life and Mission of the Church, and is divided into three parts, all of which are based on the prologue of John. In other words, always casting a glance back at the prologue of John in all of this. Okay, so the first one is called Verbum Dei, the Word of God. The second is called, the second part, Verbum in Ecclesia, the Word in the Church. And the third part, Verbum Mundo, the Word addressed to the Lord. So we're going to be looking today. My plan is to do this, to just go over the document little by little, as long as time allows, and make comments. Now, I would be interested in your feedback, if you'd be so kind to make it. Is this a helpful way? My thought is this: few people have the time to read this document, and yet it's very valuable. And perhaps a little commentary on it would help at the same time. So I'm going to be reading it little by little and commenting on it. When time runs out, we stop for this week and we pick it up again, which means that we'll be going into the summer with this. But it is so valuable that I feel that it's worth it. But as I say, I'm interested in your feedback. It's the first time I've tried something like this. Most of the time, I give just a talk on something and move on to actually discuss the readings of the liturgy. This is something different. Okay, the first part of the first part is on God who speaks. The God who speaks. There is a remarkable text which we can begin with. In many sections, in many ways, of old, God spoke to the fathers in the prophets. Now, in this last of these days, he spoke to us, in a Son, whom he has established as heir over all, and through whom he made the universe. Now, speech in that second use is much broader than the first. Unless you understand, as I think we could and should, the letter to the Hebrews, speaking through the prophets, that's not just Moses, Isaiah, it's Abraham, and David, and all the holy people who lived under the Word of God. God spoke to us, you see, spoke to the fathers in the prophets. But now, in these last days, he spoke to us in a son. Now, it says, Imin en Hio. He spoke to us. The French have a way. They say, for instance, Il se promène en soldat. He walks around like a soldier, en soldat. So this is en fils. He speaks to us in his son, whom he's made the heir of everything, and through whom he has made the ages. That's a remarkable statement, isn't it? Huh? It's the opening lines, as you probably know, of the letter to the Hebrews. So speaking, the cross is the most powerful word of God. And there's no words there. It's all in silence. But that's the word of God. As Paul calls it later, the word of the cross. So, that's the way it begins. Now, I'm going to skip part of the introduction to get to the place where the text starts. I won't skip much of it, though. Now, the text, this part of the text, starts, "The novelty of biblical revelation consists in the fact that God becomes known through the dialogue which he wishes to have with us." Think of that. There is no other religion in the world. It's founded on a dialogue with God. Began with Abraham. Actually with Adam, but with Abraham. When he said to Abraham, "Go now from your land, from your clan, from your father's house to a place I'll show you." The text says, you see, he spoke to him. God spoke. Now, that opens up a potential to the whole reality of speech. And he entered a language. He spoke Hebrew. At least the Bible spoke Hebrew. We don't know what the Abraham was speaking. But he spoke. Nowhere else, and anywhere in the world, do you have this idea that God speaks. They say words, you know, this phrase, the Jews, the Muslims, and the Christians are all religion of the word, the religion of the book. No, we're the religion of the word. The book is a way we come in contact with the word. But the book is not the revelation. The book is the means of revelation. It's the Holy Spirit who speaks through that book. And that's the revelation. We've done this before. I remember quoting for you. It's the text of St. Bonaventure. Revelation is not in Scripture. It's in the understanding of Scripture. If God came to us and spoke Chinese, would we say that he spoke to us? We wouldn't understand anything he said. So he comes with his own interpreter, the Holy Spirit. Okay. So that's the very opening line of this reflection, which is the very opening line of the letter to the Hebrews, as we've just seen. Okay? The next sentence, "The dogmatic constitution Dei Verbum had expressed this by acknowledging that the unseen God," and now the quote, "from the fullness of his love, addresses men and women as his friends and lives among them in order to invite and receive them into his own company." That's putting in biblical terms what we talk about natural and supernatural. God came among us and invited us to share his life. Isn't that astonishing? God spoke. So, the title of this is Verbum Domini. It has liturgical overtones, as we'll see. When the liturgy Latin liturgy is celebrated in Latin after the reading of the word, epistle or whatever. The reader says, Verbum Domini, the word of the Lord. And so the whole title of this is this liturgical proclamation. Okay. So he invites us and receives us into his own company. Yet we would not sufficiently grasp the message of the prologue of St. John, which is going to be the foundation and reference point of this whole document, if we stopped at the fact that God enters into loving communion with us. In reality, the Word of God, through whom all things were made and who became flesh, is the same Word who was in the beginning. If we realize that this is an allusion to the beginning of the book of Genesis, we find ourselves faced with our beginning, which is absolute and speaks to us of the inner life of God. When our Bible opens up saying, Bereshit bara Elohim, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. His first speech is his creation. Now, why did he do that? What did God have in mind? It is an unfathomable generosity. The Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are living with each other from all eternity, never a moment when they were not, in a love pact, a love rejoicing. Why would they create? Bonum est diffusivum sui, the philosophers tell us. Goodness is diffusive of itself, but it's not automatic. For God, he has to will it. He wills to share himself with us. He wills to share existence with us. You see? And invites us to share his life. So that's why the prologue, which begins, as you know, in the beginning, the Word already was. And our key, in halos. It's an imperfect. In the beginning, the Word already was. Put that beginning wherever you want. The Word already was. And now, this graced man, after having lived with Jesus and understood and saw him risen from the dead, starts to tell us, see, and the Word was turned towards God. And the Word was God. Well, wait a minute. If he's turned towards God, how can you say he's God? Right away, we're in the touch with the whole inner life of God, right? Yes, he's turned towards God. And he is God. He's equal to the Father. And the Spirit is their kiss of love. And so, you see, this our commentary, the Verbum Domini, is telling us, you see, that the Word exists before creation. The Word already was. Consequently, at the heart of the divine life, there is communion, absolute gift. So that when God says, let us make in our image, it has to be communion. It has to be. How can we be the image of God unless we love each other? And at the foundation, this mystery, you see, of man and woman who relate and who need each other to form a friendship. And from that friendship comes life. And that is the image of God. All right, well, we'll stop for this week. This is the way the text begins.